Today on Real Radio.
People, we're in a family. We have a Father who has called us to experience the unity of the Holy Spirit working in us. We have the Holy Spirit Himself who is at work doing it. We have the Son, Jesus Christ, working in our lives as well. We're a family. That's why it's so hard for some of us to get along. We're related.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring the first part of chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, stresses unity among believers. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called Building with Unity.
Second part of verse 4, he says, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. And really, where it begins there, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, really flows right into the first portion of verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. First of all, the hope of our calling. It's one hope, meaning this, there is no other way to have everlasting life but through Jesus Christ alone. He is the only hope for mankind. Is that narrow-minded? No. It's reality. It's a fact. It's our hope. Not the hope of the godless. It's the hope of those who know the Lord, who are of the one body, with Jesus as the head. We have this hope in our lives. But not only that, one faith, and that means that there's one path that leads you to this hope, and that it is the path of faith, which of course takes you to Jesus Christ. It's one faith. This needs to be preached all over the world in churches. It needs to be taught, I should say, not preached. Preaching's for evangelism. Teaching is for the church. It needs to be taught. You want to know why? There are people who are going to heaven in spite of the fact that they think if you don't get baptized in their church, you're not going. They're going to be so shocked when they see you there. When did you get baptized in our church? I didn't. God, what is he doing here? He didn't get baptized by our pastor. There's people that think like that. What's the name of the church you go to? Calvary Chapel. What? It does sound a little weird. Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel. Most people don't know what Calvary means. And don't they always say Calvary like the horses? Or is it, did you say Calgary, Canada? No, Calvary. It's a place in the Bible where Jesus was crucified on the hill, Mount Calvary. Oh, chapel. Oh, do you guys do weddings? That's what we hear. Oh, chapel, oh, you do weddings? No. But you see, people say, well, hey, you know, you got to be a member of our church. I think the Holy Spirit cringes at that. It's not true. We're going to talk about how you become a member of the church. There's only one church in that it is the body. Many local churches, one body. How do you become a member of the body of Christ? We'll touch on this in just a moment here. Jot this down. Such unity. Very, very important. The work of the Holy Spirit is to make us one. What a job! The work of the Holy Spirit is to make us one. We just get the people together here and now tonight. And let's say we're all going to go. I mean, there's not very many people here. We're getting a bus. A couple of buses. And we go to a restaurant. Have you ever done this with more than two? What would you like? Forget it. There goes the whole night. And then people get all upset. I want this salad. How come? And then all this thing's going on. It's a big deal. That's just dinner. It is the Holy Spirit's job to make us one, and I think we fight him on it more than anyone else. The Holy Spirit says, sit next to him. I don't want to sit next to him. Oh, come on. Say hi to them. I'm not saying hi to them. Isn't that funny? Go up there and help that guy. Look, he had a Jesus said, come after me sticker on the back of his window, and he's broken down in the rain and stranded. In fact, you know, his kids are floating down the streets. Help him. I got to get home, God. And the Holy Spirit's trying to get us to be unified. And so the Holy Spirit says, you know, you guys ought to have a picnic. I'm not going to a picnic. And then people say, you know, we don't need a picnic. We need a prayer meeting. So we call a prayer meeting. I'm not going to a prayer meeting. How does he do it? I don't know how he does it. But that's his plan. One body, one spirit, one hope to make us one. Unified. Listen, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to make us one. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one spirit we were all baptized. By the way, it's past tense. We were all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Greeks, Americans or Russians, slaves or free. I added that part, Americans and Russians. And have all been made to drink into one spirit. By the way, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ and you're made a child of God, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. We'll get to this in more detail in a moment. Has nothing to do with water in 1 Corinthians 12:13. Nothing. Take your Greek courses, take your Bible college lessons. You can't argue it. It has nothing to do with baptism. It has to do with the Holy Spirit placing you into this body. It's a work of God. And he's committed to it. The unity of the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful, isn't it? How he works. You can go to Mexico and meet believers down there, and in 2 minutes you feel like you've known them all your life. Isn't that weird? That's so weird. You don't even feel that close with some family members or some neighbors or whatever, you know? And then you go to Siegen, Germany, go to Siegerland, and you meet people, and they're there to pick you up at the airport, like they did our team, and you feel like you've known them all your life. Why is that? It's the Holy Spirit doing the unity thing. And you go to St. Petersburg, Russia, and what? In a moment, you feel like you've known them all your life. And then you go to Moscow. Then you go to, and wherever. You can even go to L.A. and meet a brother who knows the Lord and feel. That is the koinonia. The word is fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He's committed to doing that. The work of the flesh is to do division. The Holy Spirit is to unity. The work of the flesh is to division. Whenever you have something come across your path that tempts you or promotes division within the body of Jesus Christ, that's the work of the flesh. And there's only really one reason why that happens, and it's because people get their eyes off of what Jesus has called them to do, and they put their eyes on themselves, and they begin to get critical and self-centered at all. Very, very important. The second thing we need to see about this is found in verse 5 about the Son. The divine origin of our unity is not only of the Spirit, we saw that in verse 4, but of the Son, Jesus Christ. It says one Lord. That word, you ought to circle it, Lord. The word definitely, absolutely, without debate, is pointing to Jesus Christ. One Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 8:6 that Jesus Christ is our Lord, that he is, and there is one Lord, and that is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:6. We have one hope of our calling. One Lord, that is Jesus. So now we have the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. Now we have the second person of the Trinity introduced Jesus Christ, the Lord. It says one faith, one baptism. This, again, we mentioned it a moment ago, is the baptism of the Spirit into, or the baptism of the Spirit of us going into the body of Jesus Christ concerning the unity. Very important. You might want to jot this down as well. Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9. It says, yet indeed I also, Paul said, count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. There's only one Lord throughout your entire Bible, Old and New Testament, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say, of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish. That's the New King James is gentle. We put the word, or we have the word rubbish in there. The word is bandini in Greek. It means fertilizer, pate, stink. Paul says, everything I've acquired, it's stink. It's rubbish. It's fertilizer. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is, here it is, through faith in Christ, that's Messiah, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. The Bible goes on to tell us there, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. A name above every name. I'm always reminded of this verse when Paul of Big Screen TV does his ad. Paul of Big Screen TV. And at the end he goes, I am the king. And every time I hear that, I go, what a geek. What a nut. Hi, this is Paul, Big Screen TV. Inviting you to come on out. You won't have to buy, you won't have to send us a dime for the next 5 years. They just have the weirdest financing thing. And then he says, I am the king. And Jesus' name is the name above every name. No, Paul, you're not the king. But I am the king. No, you're not, buddy. There's a name given above every name. And at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Isn't that awesome? That day, he's going to stand there and say, he's the king. He is the king. It's going to be a great day. But we mentioned this one baptism for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, we read it. When it says, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body. It's important that we understand this, I think. And I'm going to share with you something that's my view. So put a warning label on your notes right now. This is my view. I think it's right. That's why it's my view. I'm not going to believe in your view. It's probably wrong, you know. No, I'm kidding. But this makes sense to me. Listen, if it makes sense to you, fine. But if you look at the scripture, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit placing us into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. But then is what I call the baptism of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. One is to salvation, that's the baptism of the Spirit into one body, the moment you're saved. Then there's what I call the baptism of Jesus Christ with the Spirit. Jesus said, you go to Jerusalem and you wait. And you wait there until the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come upon you. And the rest is history. And the rest is the present. Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 20, I'll read it to you, verse 19. It says, then in the same evening or the same day of that evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be with you, because they didn't have any peace. Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. What do you think was in his hands and his side? Then the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. Isn't it amazing that they identified Jesus, not by the words he said, but when he showed them his hands and his side, they identified Jesus. Wow, holes in your hand, hole in your side, praise the Lord, it's him. Zechariah tells us when Jesus comes back from heaven to the earth and the great second coming, that Israel will say, where did you get these scars on your body? Isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ, when he's coming back, Israel will identify and recognize Jesus by the scars in his body. Zechariah, the prophet, tells us this. So Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It's my opinion that in that moment, they were born again. The Holy Spirit came inside them at that moment, I personally believe. But listen to this. There's the baptism that Jesus performs here and now, and that he gives us the Holy Spirit, not for salvation, but for empowerment, for ministry. It's what I believe he's making reference to, or what's Paul referring to in Ephesians 5:18. But in John 7:38, Jesus says, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified, or the word is ascended. Isn't that interesting? And then ultimately, I believe John 14:16 was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when Jesus says, I'm going to pray. I like when he prays. Jesus, will you pray for me? Jesus says, I'm going to pray to the Father and he will give you another comforter, even the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him, neither does it know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And then you look at the book of Acts and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. There are three Greek words concerning the life of the believer in relation to the Holy Spirit that you cannot get away from. The Holy Spirit being upon you, and the Holy Spirit being alongside you. Every person in the world, the Bible teaches us, the gospel does, that the Holy Spirit is alongside them. The word for the Spirit is the parakletos. Para is the word alongside. The Holy Spirit is alongside every human being in the world, convicting them of sin. Disney calls it Jiminy Cricket. The Bible calls it the Holy Spirit. When somebody who doesn't even know God understands that they've done wrong, it's the Holy Spirit saying, you've done wrong. The Holy Spirit is alongside every person in the world. And that Holy Spirit is pointing them to Christ. The moment they receive Christ as Lord and Savior, the next word, not para, but the next word is in, E-N. The Holy Spirit at salvation comes inside them, E-N in the Greek. He dwells inside the moment of salvation. But then there's something else that happens. When it says, when Peter, who was a believer and having the Holy Spirit, it says, then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he spoke the word of God with boldness. Guess what the word is there? Epi, E-P-I, means the Holy Spirit was not alongside him. The word does not say, or the word does not mean that the Holy Spirit was in him. The word means the Holy Spirit sat on top of him and empowered him for ministry. And God wants to do that today in all of our lives. And I believe that's the baptism from Jesus Christ, or of Jesus Christ, concerning the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us the enablement of the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's something other than salvation. It's my opinion. And finally this, and we'll end here. The divine origin of the unity that we can experience is of the Father. Verse 6. It says here, one God and Father of all. Wow. It reminds me right now of Titus 2:13. The Bible says that there's one God. The Bible says in Titus 2:13 that Jesus Christ is God and that there's only one. And that's true. And here's one God and Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God made up in three personalities. Who is above all and through all and in you all. Isn't that good news? People, we're in a family. We have a Father who has called us to experience the unity of the Holy Spirit working in us. We have the Holy Spirit himself who is at work doing it. We have the Son, Jesus Christ, working in our lives as well. We're a family. That's why it's so hard for some of us to get along. We're related. But I want to end with this. You know, we're all so different, just like a real family, an earthly family, I should say. My brother and I, we're totally different. And my brother, I don't like people like this. He gets a pair of skis for Christmas. Never been on a pair of skis. So what does he do? He puts them on his feet, you know, goes, buys a lift ticket, goes up to the top of the mountain and skis down the mountain. Then he straps me to the lift and says, get up there. And I crash all the way down. He sees somebody flying a hang glider and he says, can I try that? And jumps off the mountain and flies down to the bottom. He's extremely, just he can pick up anything like that. When it comes to mechanics, the guy in the car drive down the street, he goes, oh, that guy's got a stuck lifter valve gizmo cadoodle hopper thing. Just extremely creative. Can always make something better. I got thumbs stuck in everything. I can't get my pinky out of this hole. My nose is bleeding because I slammed the hood on it, and it's just hopeless. So different. But you know what? It's one family. We're all so different. God has ordained some to be mouths, some to be feet, some to be elbows, some to be hands. And nobody appreciates the mouth chewing on the foot. And it's really a drag when the big toe gets stuck in the air. And it's really hard to walk when the knees have decided cover the eyes. And you look like a spastic freak. Not when Jesus is in control. No way. And so in our lives privately, in the church publicly, we need to yield the headship to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for it is God who is at work within us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that good news?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the first part of Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul emphasizes unity among believers. Building with Unity is the title of this mini-series. Join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we continue through this New Testament letter. Real Radio is here to build you up in the faith and to present God's scriptural truth to non-believers. Now, of course, doubt creeps in from time to time, but don't be discouraged. Doubt can certainly be a good thing, especially if it motivates you to find the truth. So because we all struggle with doubt, Pastor Jack has put together a two-part DVD presentation called simply, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Presents 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers. And by the way, whatever kinds of doubts you've experienced, they are likely dealt with in this presentation. Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? The two-part DVD package by Pastor Jack. So, this month, for a gift of any amount, in support of Real Radio, we'll send you this two-part DVD set. Just ask for it by name, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? There's more than one way to get in touch with us. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, or you can give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, that's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. California.